Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be studying there about Paul's advice on how we maintain joy despite the stresses and anxieties and worries that we feel in this life. Anxiety is a normal part of the world we live in. It is said that one recent statistic is that about 18.1% of Americans, or about 40 million, that would be equivalent of about 40 million Americans, have been or can be diagnosed with a mental health disorder of anxiety at different times. But all of us experience anxiety. To live is to be anxious about things, to be worried about things, to have stress, to have problems, to be frustrated. But sometimes that we can experience anxiety by having some physical symptoms. For example, rapid heartbeat, a panic attack, social disorders. Some people feel so much anxiety that they can't be around a crowd. I've even known people that struggle to come to church and to be involved in a worship assembly like this one because of anxiety, or thinking about going to a Bible class, or being involved in some type of social setting like that. It can also cause things like muscle tension, physical signs like blushing. It can be connected with sleep problems, fear, and other health-related issues. What is anxiety? Anxiety could be, in some ways, difficult to define. I think we use it commonly, and we talk about it, and we have an understanding of it. But then when you actually try to put it in words, what is it? Here's some thoughts. I think it involves being worried. We might think of it as being a prophet of doom. And that is, you are anticipating the worst possible scenario that could happen. And so you're worried, and you're playing out the future. And as you think about the future, it's always the worst possible scenario in your mind. And that causes you to get anxious, and that causes you to get worried, and that causes you to have these physical symptoms sometimes. It's different than anticipation. Anticipation is when we are excited about the future. For example, someone may be anticipating their wedding, and they're excited about their wedding, and they're looking forward to that. Now, there's some anxiety associated with that wedding, and they're, you know, anxious with all the flowers going to be there, and is all the food going to be there, and so we got to kind of balance that anticipation that we want to have with the anxiety that we also feel of getting everything done to make sure that the wedding goes. Is the preacher going to be there? And usually that's the last thing we have to worry about, right? We won't stress out our couple over here, Cody and Sadie, here thinking about that upcoming wedding, not too far off. And so it's different than anticipation. Often there's many external factors that cause anxiety. A lot of external factors. Recently, there's been quite a few articles coming out and studies done about how all the screen time that we're getting is causing a lot of anxiety, especially for younger people, children, and even adults, that we're seeing a lot more anxiety because of all the smartphones and iPads and TV watching and things like that. If you think about it, they will even tell you, probably heard that you're not supposed to, and I think I was talking to Robert Wade, and he was telling me that one of the things he's tried to do recently so that he can get better sleep is not watch any screen time for an hour before bed. And there's been a lot of studies that have shown that, you know, if you're on your phone and you're looking at a computer and then you try to go right to sleep, a lot of times it keeps people from sleeping because it creates anxiety and tension. Or watching the news at 10 o'clock and then trying to go to bed at 10:30 and you're worried about all these things that the news tells is horrible going on out there. And so all these things can cause anxiety. Sports can cause anxiety. Amanda has to sometimes remind me, Josh, it doesn't affect our life. Even though it might have mean a lot and you might have got all worked up and your team didn't win, go on. It doesn't really matter to your life. Well, I say you don't understand sports. But anyways, that's another issue. Relationships. We can get anxious about relationships, especially if our relationship is not going the way we want it to be going, or we feel like it's failing, or we feel like they're going to leave us, or things of that nature. Our job, financial stress and anxiety, church conflict, national problems. A lot of people had anxiety over the election and a lot of issues with that. And Facebook and social media, and I could keep going and you know and think about that too. But here's the thing, anxiety can become, don't misunderstand me now, I'm not saying anxiety is a sin, but anxiety can become a sin. It can take the place of God. It can become something that can rule our hearts and rule our lives so that we spend all of our time being anxious, or in the biblical term, being worried, so that we lose our perspective and we lose our joy that we're talking about in this series. And so it keeps us from serving, from worshiping, from being able to live the life of freedom that Christ died for us to have. And it can cause us all kinds of physical and spiritual problems when we treat anxiety like a god instead of God being God. Now, I want you to do something that I don't typically do in my sermons, but I want you to take out a sheet of paper. You can use one of the visitor cards or a building fund envelopes. You don't even have to put money in it tonight. You can grab one of those out, or your phone. Don't get too anxious about picking up your phone, but... And I want you to take just a minute or two here, and I want you to think about, you don't have to just list on and on and on, but I want you to list some of the things that come to your mind. Now, I'm not going to take these up. This is totally for you. We're going to just tie this in at the end of the sermon too. But I want you to write down a few things that cause you anxiety. What are some things that cause you anxiety? I mean, we all have them, but here's the thing, yours is probably going to be different than mine, so I want you to think what causes you anxiety. Because I want you to apply this sermon to your life, because I may not mention what causes you anxiety. So think about what causes you anxiety. Things that you're worried about, concerned about. Go ahead and take a minute or two and as you're writing and trying to come up with your list, here's some questions to help you out. You know, what things are stealing your joy? What things take away your joy? Some of these may be real legitimate concerns, you know. I just read on Facebook from one of my friends recently that where he was and the industry he works in, that they laid off 1,500 jobs, and he was talking about so many of his friends that were hurting. And so that causes a lot of anxiety if you're in a situation like that. So what are some things that steal your joy? What are these issues? Are they things that you can control or not control? So what anxiety issues are you dealing with? You know, trying to think about lists. Are they things that you can control? Now, continue to write, and we're going to go on with the sermon, but I want you to continue to make your list, and, you know, don't keep writing all sermon, but I'm sure some of us could go on and on, but put some of your main ones down, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and talk about, and let's look at what Jesus says about anxiety. So as you're thinking about that list, and you're writing your list, after we read what Jesus says, we'll come back to that in a moment. In Matthew 6, 25, Jesus gives his longest treatment of this issue of worry and anxiety. And he says in verse number 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious." Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Don't have anxiety about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, or what you will wear, or about your body. What you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? So he's talking about things that we can control. Can we control these things or not? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yes, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? This is a key verse, I believe. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about today, about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Notice some things that Jesus says about anxiety here. Without getting into the scripture in great detail, because we want to get back to Philippians. Notice that Jesus says that our anxiety is primarily about our focus and our priorities. He talks about how we can be concerned about what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink, what we're going to eat. And then he talks about things that we can't control. We can't add a single hour to our life. We can't add or make ourselves any taller. There's some things that we can't change. You know, we can't make ourselves younger. We just, if we are the age we are, we can't change certain things. And then he says, and I mentioned this key verse because I think this is his, when he really gets to his point, is verse 32. And he says, the Gentiles, that is the pagans, those who are not believers, who don't have God, they seek after all these things. Their focus, their priority is upon getting all of these things. The things of the world, clothing and food and all the stuff of this world. And he says, God knows you need all these things. God knows you need them, and He's going to provide them for you. But look what he says to us, verse 33. But you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What he's saying is our focus should be on seeking the rule of God in our hearts. Now this is a great challenge for us. But what he's saying is, really our anxiety, and all of us are guilty here, and I think we all struggle with this passage, but our anxiety comes when we get focused on the things of this world. And many of these are legitimate needs. Food, clothing, shelter, things like that. And what he's saying is, if you spend all your time focused on getting these things, and so many of ours are even over and above that, then you're going to have anxiety. Because you're going to worry, when you get them, you're going to first be worried about getting them. And then when you get them, you're going to be worried about losing them. You're going to be worried about maintaining them, and all your focus is going to be on those things. He says that's what the Gentiles seek after all the time. But he says you don't seek after those things. You don't make that your priority. You rather seek first the rule of God, the trust of God, the following of God in your life, and God's going to supply all these things. In other words, you trust God to provide you with all you need. And you don't, you're seeking His will, His rule, more than these things. And so it seems that Jesus is mainly talking about our priorities and our focus. And so the question we must ask then, as we think about our list, is anxiety ruling your heart? You see, really, anxiety is an issue. Is an issue about our hearts and about our stress and the worry and the fear and what we see as the doom complex. Everything's going to happen bad and anticipating all of that. And really, that is when anxiety takes over. And what Jesus is saying is, if in order to push out that anxiety, we have to fill up our heart more with the love, with the trust, with the will, the rule of God. And so Paul is someone who we're going to talk about, who we're going to talk about in our study of Philippians. And of course, Paul had a lot of anxiety too. He's certainly one that can tell us how to have joy through anxiety, because Paul had his own anxiety. He had in 2 Corinthians 12, 6-10, his thorn in the flesh that he prayed for on a regular basis. He says three times he begged God to take it away, and God did not take it away. This thorn in the flesh had to cause him tremendous anxiety. Some people think it was his eyes, maybe that he was blind or going blind, that we just don't know. It might have been some other kind of physical condition that he experienced because of his beatings and things like that. But he had a thorn in the flesh that was a great anxiety to him, and God did not take it away, but said his grace was sufficient. Paul had constant anxiety, he says, over the churches. 2 Corinthians 11:28, he says, "And what comes upon me daily is the constant anxiety, the constant worry for all the churches." And in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he says he could not bear it any longer. So he had to send Timothy to check on the brethren at Thessalonica, lest the tempter Satan had tempted them. He could not bear thinking about that the Thessalonian brethren might have left the faith, that Satan might have taken them away. And Paul had anxiety about worrying for the church. And then Paul had anxiety, Philippians chapter 1, about his own death. He said, "I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with the Lord." But he understands that for him to remain in the flesh is far greater for them. And so he has this pressure and this anxiety about what's going to happen and how is he going to testify before the Caesar. And he wants in all things that God could be glorified in, but he has anxiety or stress over that. And so Paul had a lot of anxiety too. And so before we look to Philippians then, here's kind of a summary statement to get us back to Philippians. We're going to all have anxiety. Jesus talked about it. And he had some in the Garden of Gethsemane and the wilderness. Jesus had anxiety and stress. Paul had it. You and I are going to have it. But we must not let it. Here's what we must not let it do. We must not let it rule our hearts. That's when it becomes sin. When we replace God with anxiety. When we let it become an idol to us, if you will. And we must not let it steal our joy. We must not let it steal our joy. Now, there's going to be temporary times, I guess, where we could talk about, like those, like I was mentioning, the people who lost their job right here at the holidays. They're going to have it's going to be difficult. But they must not allow anxiety and worry to take away their joy over time. To let them be defeated by that. And so it seems to me that those two things is when anxiety moves into the category of sin and a real problem for us. When it takes away our heart where God should be, and when it takes away our joy that we should have. Now let's turn back to Philippians chapter 4. So how do we overcome anxiety? How do we overcome anxiety? Paul had it, and Paul gives us some solutions to try to overcome anxiety in our life. There are seven of these that he gives, and all these are right from the text. The first one is, choose to rejoice rather than be anxious. Choose to rejoice rather than be anxious. Look at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And then look at verse 6. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Notice that Paul, now, you know, you may think, well, Josh, that sounds good. You're just a preacher up there preaching that. You're telling me that when I'm facing anxiety and worry and stress, that I just need to tell myself, don't be anxious and rejoice. Be happy about it. That seems a little Pollyanna. That seems a little fake to me. That seems a little, happy and you know it stuff, Josh, but that don't seem very real. Here's the thing, I'm not telling you that. That's God telling you. It is a commandment for us to intentionally choose, I'm not going to be anxious, but I'm going to rejoice. Paul, when he was in prison with Silas in Acts 16, and he was chained there, and they were in prison in chains, and what did they choose to do? They choose to start singing and praying hymns to God. That's an intentional choice that he made. Here he is in prison again, and he says, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. That's a commandment. And that commandment, I sandwiched these together because I made them in one point and I wanted us to see. There's two sides to this commandment. The first side of it is rejoice, and the second side of it is don't be anxious. Verse 6, don't be anxious. And so we are commanded to have an attitude of not being anxious, but to intentionally choose to rejoice. We might say, well, I can't help it. God commands us to try to rejoice and not be anxious. One of the key things that I think we need to remember is our hope. Our hope. We are our stability. I talked this morning about heaven. And I talked about the children of Israel and how they lost focus. And they got all anxious and kept saying, I want to go back to Egypt. We were better off back in Egypt. Even though they kept eating the manna and eating the quail, they forgot God was providing for them every day. And they let their anxieties overrule God's present blessings and God's trustworthiness and His faithfulness. Because of that, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. We need to choose to rejoice rather than be anxious. I know anytime you go to the, of course, I've been to the hospital some this week with Kenny having his procedure, and you talk to people, family members and stuff, and they'll tell you, you know, it's something just to sit around a hospital waiting room and hear the stories. Or Kenny talked about even when he was getting his iron before preparing for the surgery, how many people had to go, like some people that have to take dialysis and they have to go on a regular basis. And there was a child there having to get iron on a regular basis, and another man, I think, who had had to have it for decades on a regular basis, go up there and get iron supplements. You know, there's a lot of people that have things a lot more difficult than us. And we can find reasons to rejoice, reasons that we have to be thankful for the position we're in, the blessings we have, and reasons why God has been faithful to us in the past, why we don't have to be anxious now. The second thing that Paul says in verse 5, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Paul says that we need to be reasonable. That is, this idea of reasonable is be calm. Christians should be able to stand the pressure. We are the ones with the answers, 1 Peter 3:15. And so let your wisdom, your rationale, your reasonableness be known. I think what Paul is saying here is don't be flighty or jumpy or worried about every little thing. You know, when I first started investing in and looking at the stock market when I was young, and my grandfather started talking to me about it, and then you start reading things when I was in college and stuff, and one of the key messages that they always talk about in any kind of investment book that you'll read is that don't get focused on the short term. If you're in it for retirement, if you're in it for a long term, that you've got to realize that the market is going to go up, down, and it's going to go up. It's going to have a lot of periods, and you're focused on the long-term growth. Well, that's kind of what Paul's saying here. He's saying be reasonable. Don't let all the ups and downs of this world cause you to constantly have anxiety. Don't get all worried about the things you can't control. Be calm and reasonable. I think about those t-shirts that you see a lot now. Be calm, and then it has something else. But I think Christians should be people that should say, be calm. We're the calm ones because we have the answer. We have the help of God. Be reasonable, Paul says. The third thing, he says, know that Jesus is near. The Lord is at hand. In Matthew 28, when he's given the Great Commission, Jesus says, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. I've tried to start praying more for people that are going through a hard time when they've lost a loved one, when they're in the hospital, that they may feel the presence of God. Not anything supernatural, miraculous, but I think we need to know that God is with us, that we can feel the presence of God, that God is there with us. That's what the Bible talks a lot about, that lo, He is with us, that His Spirit is with us, that God is with us. And that's what I believe this verse is saying, that the Lord is at hand, that He is very near, that we may not, in a way, know He's here, but we trust by faith that He is here. And so that takes away a lot of anxiety to know that God is with us, that God is here. Everything's going to be all right because God is here. The fourth thing that Paul says is verse 6. He says that by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Let it out to God. Pray. And this is basic stuff. Y'all know this. You knew this was going to be on there. But boy, is there a greater way to let our anxiety just spill out and be let the stress and the worry go than turning it over to God? I heard it read a long time ago that we sometimes should visually pray, especially when you can't sleep at night and you're letting your anxiety get to you. Just visualize that you're praying, that whatever worries you have, you're just pouring them into the hands of God. You're just giving them to God. Pray with request. You know, ask God to do something. Trust God to do something. But whatever you ask, do it with thanksgiving. I think God required thanksgiving, number one, because that's the attitude of humility we should have. But secondly, I think He required us to ask it with thanksgiving because He knew that would change our hearts. If we got to be selfish, like a little kid talking, you know, at Christmas, everything they want, and that's how we talk to God all the time, think about how spoiled we would be. But if we have to tell God, God, this is what I need, but I tell you, God, while I'm telling you what I need, I'm also going to tell you what I'm thankful for. It's going to change our anxiety. I'm thankful, God. And that helps me focus on my blessings as well as my worries. And so, number five, verse 7 and 9, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then verse 9, he says it again, "The God of peace will be with you." It seems that we also need to intentionally choose to accept the peace of God. We have peace of God through the cross that Jesus died for us, and we should realize that we can have God's peace, and this peace can surpass all understanding. He gives us security and trust. She probably wouldn't like me saying this, but I thought it illustrates the lesson so well. Miss Jerry was telling me that she rested well after when she went home for a couple nights, and she would go home each evening. She wasn't able to go home last night with severe weather and things, but she said that her own bed, she's able to get into it. She said she feels a sense of peace and security that she feels God has given her and has allowed her, just when she gets in that situation, to just rest and sleep and just turn it over to God. Well, that's exactly what this is saying here. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that she and us could be anxious about whatever we're dealing with in our lives. But we got to get to a point where we say, God, I got to rest. You can stay up, God, and worry about this and take care of it for me, but I got to sleep. We've got to turn it over to God and accept the peace of God, and we've got to let it go. I think that's what Paul's saying. We've got to let it go. We've got to trust God, and we've got to accept His peace, and we've got to move forward. And then he says in verse 8, there's two more. Between 8 and 9. Verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren," and then there's this long list of whatevers. And the whole emphasis is on meditating on good things. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. If there is anything worthy of praise, and here's the key word, think about these things. I know that it's probably not always the best, but Amanda and I, we hardly ever watch the news, and lots of times we don't know what's going on as we should know what's going on in our world. But, you know, you have less anxiety when you don't watch the news. Some people have had to even cut back on how much they're on social media or how much they are doing those things because there's so much anxiety that can come from that. Sometimes we have to intentionally choose to shut out all the things that are coming into us on a regular basis and say, you know what, that stuff, it's just making me anxious. There's so much bad news, and you hear about all the problems and all the worries, and so much of that is driven with sensational efforts to get our attention. And we need to realize that we need to meditate on good things. Read some books. Read good articles. We just set out the new little daily devotionals. And you can have the one-word daily devotionals that we are going to be doing next year. You can sign up in the back to get one of those. Where, you know, think about good things. Read your Bible. Those things make a tremendous difference. Meditate on good things. Don't watch all these, you know, murder shows and awful things happening. Meditate on good things. And then last, I would say, from verse 9, live according to your theology, not your anxiety. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul says, now all these things that you've witnessed, and here's the key word, practice these things. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. What he says is, all this stuff that you have been believing and hearing and knowing, he says at some point you've got to do them. You've got to practice them. In other words, we believe and we trust that God is good. Then act like God's good. We believe in heaven. Then act like there's a heaven. We believe that God causes all things to work together for good. Then act like you believe that. If you believe we are not to seek after the things of the world and be anxious about them, then act like it. You see, we've got to practice our faith. Now, I want you to go back to that list that I asked you to make at the beginning. Pull out that list. And I want to conclude by looking at that list. Are these things ruling your heart? And are they stealing your joy? Now, look at this list of seven things that Paul gives us from chapter 4, 4 through 9. And here's what I want you to do. What of these things, out of these seven, what of these things need to be implemented to help you overcome what's on that list? You know, it's very possible that a few of these really didn't connect with you or maybe don't really apply to your situation. But I would say that several of them did. And so what I want you to do is make a second statement or a second list, however you want to do it, at least one statement. And here's what I want you to say, and this is just for your personal benefit. When I start feeling anxious, I will. And then choose one of these statements, one of these things from Paul that affects your life. When I start feeling anxious, and I know that it's because I'm focused too much on worldly things, I'm going to do this. I'm going to meditate on good things. Or I'm going to pray. You know, I'm going to pray about it. If we worry and worry and worry, but we don't ever pray, then what does that say about our faith? Or I'm going to remind myself that Jesus is near. Jesus is near. So when I start feeling anxious, I will. And then you choose what you're going to do. This evening, if you're not a child of God, then we want to encourage you to become a child of God. Your anxiety should be high over your soul if you're not right with God. And if you need to get right with God, then please come as together we stand and sing.